It's amazing that sometimes when I stand here, with so much faith and full of the Lord and know that exactly what the Lord wants to do. And sometimes I feel like I do now. I'm like, sure, Lord, I really need you this morning, which is a great place to be at. So I've got so much in my heart that I feel the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. And I'm just trusting that, like I prayed now, that through the Spirit you will hear this morning. Because this song that we just sung, it's like break every stronghold. As we were singing that, it was so in line with my preach that I'm even me singing it now, I'm like, yes, Lord, I'm not totally sure what I'm singing. Because I don't know what are all the strongholds in my life. But this, Ali, what's a stronghold in Afrikaans? Vesting. Vestings, dankie, Hendrik. Vestings. Stronghold klink net erger. Want het is erger. As net a, ja, dit is, ek noem maar net 'n vesting. Maar dit is 'n vesting ook seker as 'n grondgebied. So ja, as jy 'n topic aan dit wil sit, I'm probably going to preach this in two parts. I'm probably going to carry on next week. So I feel this is what it, this is not a well. Like I said on the message for on the group that I've been preparing this for months, and what I meant by that is I've been preparing and seeing and God been revealing things in my life for months, and just seeing things that. And I'm honestly, this has been months. I'm not just saying it to hype it up. It has been a journey with the Lord, with me. And some of that, I'm just going to share what the Lord has been sharing with me. But I feel as the Lord has been sharing with me, it is obviously that this is for ons allemaal. In hierdie season, in hierdie tyd. So I want to say, just to hype it up a little bit more, is that if I had to, I don't know how to say this, but if I had to... if this had to be my last preach, if I had to preach two last preaches, the one will, obviously, I think the one will be about love and how to love one another, because I love John, and just reading through John and just these, after 90 years of life, and just how he expresses love and how we should love each other, and he didn't love enough, and we should love it. And so that will be the one, and then the other one, I think this will be it. It's a warning, but it's encouragement, the kind encouragement, just what I feel. And saying this, it is looking at what we are moving into as a world, as a body of Christ as well, and where we're going at. And this is, for me, it's preparing us, and that's why I feel the Lord's preparing me, and he's preparing all of us, and like me and Renske have been talking, it's preparing us as a little family. It's preparing us as a big spiritual family for, I think, the years to come. And I'm going to say it again. I've been saying it quite a few times this year. Things are not going to get easier. As time draws closer, the Bible says the love of most will grow cold. And that's a scary thought. And what I'm preaching today is to help you that your love won't grow cold. Okay. And that's what the Lord has been just speaking to me about. Okay. So I'm not gonna hurry through it. Even if it takes three preachers, I'm not gonna hurry through it. I wanna make sure that I follow my notes. Because there's been quite a lot. So the topic is the quiet war. Die stille oorlog. Die stille oorlog. Part 1. Okay. So when I say to you, en ek sê hierdie woorde, weet dat jy is in 'n oorlog. If I say to you, you're in a war, what's the first thoughts that come to mind? Kom, gee gou iemand 'n paar gedagtes. Simpiwe. Hey? Weapons and armor. okay? Take it a little bit more personal. If I say you're in a war, how would that play out in your life? What do you think about? Suffering. Okay? Am I ready? Nog woorde. Running away. Dat is die eerlijkste ene. Fight or flight. Dan weet ons wat jy. Ja, wie moet jy nou nie bel nie. Okay. It's amazing when I think of the first thought and I think of war. I think a lot of us think externally, don't we? Blow maandag. Yes, I've heard it. I've been a Christian for many years and I've obviously been in Christian circles and churches all my life. It's just, I love that when your tire bursts, everybody's like, yeah, die duivel's weer los vandag. Hey? It's like when suffering comes and when these sort of things, it's always external, isn't it? You think, just be honest now, how we sort of feel the devil's manifesting in our lives is when it's external things. It's like sickness and, you know, my car breaks and, you know, they steal things and we look at the country, or we look at the wars and we look at, that's the external things that we look at. And one thing that I've realized in the last months is just how there's a war which is very silent and very deceptive that I sometimes totally miss. And to realize that it is a war and it's not just these external things that we so easily do. So for today, I really do trust. So it's not going to, I'm not sure I'm going to land. But for today, I really want us to realize and bring awareness that we are in this silent war that we don't realize we are, okay, as a family. So the war is very deceptive and it's very silent. Especially very deceptive the closer we get to the Lord's coming. So I want to read for us from 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Ek gaan eers vir ons in die Afrikaanse 2020 vertaling en dan sal ek die Engels ons sê, wees nigter, wees waaksaam. Julle teenstander die duivel loop soos 'n brullende leeu op soek na wie hy kan verslind. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. See, when we read this, we're like, yeah, you sort of external. You think of this roaring lion walking around and he's looking for someone to devour, and that's why my tire burst on a Monday morning, you know? But why would he say, be sober-minded, be watchful before that? It's because it's very deceptive and we don't realize how deceptive it is. And just to explain to you how deceptive this war can be, just a quick thing. Have you realized how quickly time flies by? Hey? Ons praat so baie daaroor. Ons is soos, it's alweer 'n maand verby. It's like a week, it's like this. Hey? If you see that your week just flew by, poof. And here we sit again on a Sunday, and a couple of weeks go by, I didn't go to church, but yes, I'm here again. It feels like I haven't been here forever, but the time just flies, and I've just been so busy. That sort of thing which must start making you think of, okay, isn't there something carrying, you know, happening? Weet, bedoelend, jy is vir 'n hele week, gaan jou week verby, werk gaan, ons kom by Saterdag, en ek sê, I haven't actually been aware of God this week. Hey? Wie van julle so? Kom aan, wees eerlik vanoggend. Okay, ek gee julle stretch vandag. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. But I am afraid, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve, by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 12, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. One word I want to put, because there's a lot in that scripture, okay? And we know the scripture, yeah, almost battle city and fleas and blood, and it's quoted to Bible, but there's such a big truth in that. To know that we are in this war and we're in this massive battle, spiritual war. And we sometimes, the week flies by, and we, when last did you experience the war, the spiritual war in your life? Come, be honest now. When last did you experience the spiritual war in your life? Hey? Funny, come on, be honest. Weeks fly by, you don't realize that. Weeks go by, and you think you're not in this war. It says there, and so we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's schemes. Schemes of the devil. And in Afrikaans said it, die listighede van die duivel. The schemes of the devil refers to clever tricks, lies, and traps from Satan, who uses to tempt people and lead them away from God. This concept warned in Ephesians 6:11 comes from the Greek word methodia, ek's van die Vrystaat, ek ken nie Grieks nie, which is also the root word of our word method. Okay, so I'm trying to make links here. Try and follow me. The devil's got a method in leading you away from God without you realizing it. That's what it means. He's got schemes, deceitful schemes to lead you away from him. Metodes wat hy werk. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm reading a lot of scriptures now. I'm going to get to a few practical things. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Onthou weer het ek gesê van die uiterlike, né? For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy what? Vestings. Hey? Strongholds. What are these strongholds? We destroy what? Because yet again, we think of strongholds. What do you think of? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Ek kan het nie meer beklemtoon vanoggend dat dis 'n stil oorlog nie. And we don't think it is a war. That your thoughts and the way you think is a war. The devil's waging a deceptive, silent war with your thoughts so that he can find strongholds with what? Opinions and arguments. And we don't see these things. We think it's productive thoughts. We think it's good thoughts. Because that's what everybody thinks. And that's what's part of our culture. That's why we think these things. So we all know this, that we, okay, obviously, Charles, we've got a few strongholds in our lives. Maybe in my gedagtes het ek 'n paar vestings wat ek nie lekker seker is van nie. Maar I'm really praying, and that's what's been my journey in the last couple of months, how the Lord's been showing these strongholds in my life that I've never been aware of. Never. And just how subtle they are. So, hoe werk 'n oorlog? We need to understand this. Hoe werk 'n oorlog? Dit is so moeilik nie. Twee mense beklei te mekaar. Okay. But I put an image here, I asked AI. It's so easy these days to do that. Maar het nogal cool uitgekom. Ek het 'n klomp goed vir hom gevra om te doen en toe eventually kom hy by die goed uit. So if you can imagine two kingdoms, this image here, for those who are listening online, I'm going to send it on WhatsApp. But there's an image of two kingdoms. And in a kingdom that we need to realize there's front lines. Okay? Like any war has got a front line pushing against each other. Okay? So druk was deur mekaar en sekere grondgebied word gevat en sekere nie. Moenie jy hoef nie nou te lees oor die details nie. Ons kan dalk later in dit inkom volgende week of wat ook al. But as you can see there, there's a front line of waging war. And it's a war of two kingdoms that we need to realize. It's not just a war of, jy weet, jy en jou gemak, of a war of, jy weet, there's no weer blou maandag. It's not those, it's not that type of war. Jy kan my afval en is terug het allemaal daar so lees. En dan kan jy weer vir my kyk. That we need to realize, and one thing that I've realized, that I actually felt this holy discontent in my heart of not being aware of God enough. And I haven't realized just how much of a war there is for my heart. And there's front lines in my heart that has been taken captive. With what? Opinions and arguments. In my heart. And I realize that, and I get upset that, why am I not so aware of God in certain things? And I've realized how things have crept into my life that's taken me captive in those areas of, and you need to realize that, because we think we've got our own free will. We've talked about this quite a lot. You know, this make you so. It's like what you haven't realized is how much of a war has taken place for you to have that opinion. For you to have that argument, for you to make this choice, there's been a war raged for thousands of years for you to make that choice. And that's a profound thought. Because we say, break every stronghold. It's like, what are we singing? Are you realizing what you're singing? It's like, are you even realizing that you've got strongholds in your heart? That you've got lofty opinions and... So a kingdom is something where somebody reigns. Okay. A king reigns in that kingdom. So either in your heart, it's either a place where the Lord will reign. He's got full ownership, full control, and you're fully devoted to that king. And here's the thought. Or you're fully devoted to what? Darkness. And we don't realize that because it's so subtle that he leads you into making this choice. But all you realize is that I've been taken captive. The way I look at things, the way I make decisions is because of this king in this world that leads you. And there's this war in you that we don't realize. That's why I call it the silent war. Mark it in as you have met my father. So easily we sing or we pray, say, our Father in heaven. And I want to say, when we say that and we pray that our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. For many years, what was your first thought when you pray that? Kom, wees eerlijk, het zeg even, as jy vir die skrif dink, your kingdom come, what did you think about? Aarde. Jesus kom terug. Nog. Wederkoms. Your kingdom come. See, if you make it personal. Let's make it personal. And that's the problem. Once we make it personal, your kingdom come. It's like, okay, what does that mean when I make it personal? See, what we need to know that when the Pharisees asked Jesus, Lord, where's your kingdom? Where's the kingdom coming? And he's like, hey, hou op om julle kyk. Koninkryk is in your heart. So when you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. What is the kingdom going to be built on? your heart and my heart. So when I pray that, it's like, Lord, your kingdom come. Meaning, what are the areas in my heart that you're not reigning? See, it's a war for his presence in your life. It's a war for the awareness of God in your heart. And if we say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what do we, ek soos altyd quote net, ja, soek eerst die koninkryk van die Here, wat dink ek? Okay, ek moet sonderdag kerk toe gaan, ek moet woensdag community toe gaan. Hey? Seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean to you? And we forget to quote, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means, Lord, in my heart, where am I not like you? So seeking first the kingdom of God, that's the first place you go to, not paying your tithe. That flows out of that place, yes. But when I say, I quote that scripture to myself, I need to make it something in my heart, something personal. Is your heart longing for his righteousness? Is your heart longing for the king to reign in your heart? So, and no wonder, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Yes, we know this, but have you ever thought about it? Some deep thoughts this morning, eh? And hopefully God's breaking down. And I'm honestly, like I said, if this is my last preach to prepare you for the coming of Jesus, this would be it. Think about these things. It's like when the Bible says the Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, what does that mean to me? How does that look? Soveel keer praat ek en Rens kan sê ons vir onsself, Hoe gaan ek keer dat ek en jy laat ons nie deceived word nie? Dis oor hierdie goeders te dink. It's like, be aware, be sober-minded. Be mindful of these things. And I've had this picture when I've seen the things in my life and I said to Renske, I've realized it's like the Trojan horse. Wie van julle ken hierdie Trojan horse dat ek nou moet verduidelik? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you young mense, weet julle wat ek van praat? Okay. The Trojan horse. The Greeks that took the city of Troy. With what? With a horse. Okay, but it's a mythology. It didn't really happen. For those of you who think it's a true story, it's not. Okay? Brad Pitt het nie rarig in het gespeel nie. Okay? And I've realized that sometimes so many things that I think is good, so many things that I think is, it's just how it's supposed to be. It's been a Trojan horse in my life for so many years, and it's taken it ground. It takes it, walks into the front line of my thoughts with that lofty argument or agreement, you know, and then it sets, it just takes that stronghold, and you struggle to break it. So now I've set the tone for us to realize what it is. Hey? What sort of it is. But now I'm going to try and show you some of the things that I've seen in my life, and hopefully you can see some of it in yours. Is that okay? Okay. So there's a massive scripture, and we'll probably break a bit of the context of the whole passage in Colossians 2. So don't for me in the NIV, asseblief. Is it better in the NIV? And this is the one, I've thought about these things and I've seen it and I was like digging into the Bible and getting to this scripture, I was like, yo, hier som Paulus dit helemaal op. En julle lees het nou daar voordat julle mag. So ek wil het, maar julle kan het by die NIV, so I'm going to read it. See to that no one takes you, what? Captive. Oh, daar gaan het nou weg. Okay. See to that no one takes you captive. Deur wat? Through hollow and deceptive philosophy. which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. See to that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Some of the older NIV says that. Elemental spiritual forces. Sit gou op die ESV, weet toe maar. Ek weet nie, ek weet nou nie, kan jy dit daarop sit daar sê. It says according to and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself philosophy and this is according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world and not according to Christ. That word captive and thoughts, it's massive. What is hollow and deceptive philosophies? It sounds, as jy hier goed gaan ingrawe en sien wat Paulus regtig bedoel hierso. Philosophy, derived from the ancient Greek word philosophia, meaning love of wisdom. It is the pursuit of deep truth regarding the universe and our place in it. Basically what it says, the reason for things and doing things that seems reasonable. Ek gaan dit weer vir julle sê. Die rede hoekom jy goeders doen. Die rede hoekom jy so reageer, wat vir jou redelik lyk. Dis 'n philosophy. Dis hoekom jy goed doen. Ons almal filosofeer elke dag. Without you knowing it. The reason for living. That's why Jesus and I've always said this to any atheist or anyone that I've talked to about philosophies. Like any philosophy, you can capture in one scripture. An answer with one scripture. And that is Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So any philosophy, we're either asking, what is life? Hoe vind ons lewe? Hoe vind ons joy? Hoe vind ons geluk? Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? I am the way. And then the last one, really the truth and the life, is truth. What is truth? That's a big thing in these days. So wat's waarheid? That's philosophy. And the thing is that we don't realize that how many of these truths your heart has been taken captive in. How many of the things you live for has been taken captive? How many things that you find life in has been taken captive? And we don't realize it. Like, I didn't realize it. It's like I'm still, like daily, I'm like, Lord, talk to me about these things. Seen yet again, it's a Trojan horse. And behind it, it says, that scripture says this, what? It talks about empty and hollow philosophies. What's after that? Which depends on what? Human traditions. What is that? Kultuur, julle. Dinge wat jy dink is reg. Dinge wat die mensdom dink is reg. En jylle gaan, ons gaan nou 'n bietjie verder in het krap. En wat ons nie besef nie, agter hierdie kultuur, behind these things that we think is normal, behind these things that we think is right, what is it? Spiritual forces. It's what? What did we see? That picture, the darkness taking over. And we're like, just la-di-da, oh jylle, Jussie, 2 weke is voorbij, ek was nog nie by kerk of community, ek nog nie stil geword nie, we're not... And we think it's just, oops, sorry, Here, Isaac. Isaac, we are. And then we struggle to hear his voice. We struggle to find him. We're like, why? You've been taken captive. And one of the, I'm jumping my notes now. I know it's there somewhere. One of the biggest deceptions there is that the devil wants us to realize or to know that as long as you are saved, you're okay. And when we talk about these things, we're like, maar dit niks my redding, ek kan nie my redding verloor, ek is heel okay met hierdie I think one of the biggest, but I do think it's very, very dangerous to think that you can't lose your salvation. But the problem is, don't always make it about your salvation. That's why I've been taken out of light, darkness, I've been put into light. But there's a walk with the Lord. There's a journey that you have to go through. And ek is nou 30 jaar van die Here ken. In the last couple of months I've realized that just how captive I've been taken. Not realizing the spiritual forces behind it. So, hier is nou lekker jette julle. Hoe lank is ek nou besig? Is ek lang? Is ek te lang? Is jy reg? Jy moet sulke grapjes maak hier. So, ons gepraat nou oor tyd. Hier kom hy nou. So you think you haven't lost ground? Whom of you guys, come on, be honest, think you're actually okay? But after saying this, all of us are doubting, am I okay? So I'm going to read you a scripture. And when I read it, yes, sir, we haven't read this in Josh Jane ever. No, I'm joking. This is Acts 2:42. So you think you haven't been taken captive? And they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing their proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending in the temples together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So as I was God revealing these things to me, I was reading this again. And I read just that there's lots there. I was just reading this. They met daily in a temple courts. Can you see that how much you've been taken captive? As ek a prayer meeting roep, sê ek, kom ons bid 8:30 saam voor die kerk. Dag, wat, 3, 4 op, 5. Now, this is not a guilt trip, but I'm not condemning you this morning. But I want you to see this morning. Just your philosophy that's been built on human tradition and what you live for. When I ask you to register for 412 conference, what are the thoughts running through your head? That Charles has to stand there in front and motivate you. And Acts 2:42, they were filled with the Spirit. They devoted themselves. It's not a motivation or a... Ek hierdie great motiverende spreker wees om julle te motiveer om goeders te doen en... We don't realize we're in a war. It's a very silent, deceptive war. Nou kan ons verder gaan. They meet daily. Daily. And I know what we think. Because I'm also human. Charles, hy het anderster gelewe daai tyd. You know, for 2,000 years, we've had this saying, work smarter, not harder. Right? Everything has become so easy, quick. Ons het groot trekkers. Hulle het nie groot trekkers gehad nie. Ons het karre om te ry na die kerk toe. Hulle het nie karre gehad om te ry na die kerk toe nie. Moenie vir my sê hulle het meer tyd as jy gehad nie. Don't say that to me, because I know it's not true. They devoted themselves. Why? Because the kingdom of God's reigning in their hearts. I call a prayer meeting on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. 20 people show up. Why? Because we don't see the war and the need for prayer. Hulle het ook belasting gehad om te betaal. Hulle het ook swaar gekry. Hulle het ook hard gewerk. If anything, I think they worked harder than us. We're just doing much more quicker, but it's taking so much more time of us. We are just so busy. So in this journey with the Lord, yet again, I'm sharing what the Lord's been speaking to me. I remember sitting with the Lord, it's not long ago, I think about 4 weeks ago, sitting in my quiet time, and I have a busy morning, busy, and I know that I've set that time, I've booked that time out to sit with Him and spend time with the Lord. I just want to get everything done so that I can relax and just be with the Lord. That's just how I am. Arguments and philosophies, my reasons. And I sat with the Lord and I've never so kindly felt in a rebuke of the Lord. So merciful. I've just felt His heart in that moment for me, saying, Charles, I heard these words. You see, Charles, you're giving me Cain time and not Abel time. Yes, and I read that story again. Where Cain gave an offering to the Lord. He felt he had to give an offering to the Lord. Just like me. I know, Lord, I'm coming. I'm spending time with you. I know I want to do that. But I'm not giving Him my best time. My most productive times. And I had to journey out to repent, say, Lord, I'm so sorry. And so many things that I've had to repent, and I want to repent again this morning in front of you guys. I was more concerned of your times and looking at how much I can ask of the church and your capacity, because I know everybody's busy and I'm trying to fit what we can do as a church. So I don't not want to ask, you know, can we do Tuesdays again, guys? You think we can do Tuesdays again? Because it's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. You know, even though I'm only asking for an hour on a Tuesday, Wednesday evening, Sundays, and I'm working this and I'm trying to manage. And I want to repent this morning, saying that I've let you in an argument that wasn't right. I've asked the Lord to forgive me because I'm afraid to ask you of time. Because I know it's precious. We call it precious time, our precious time. It's like it's not your time. If God is king in your heart, your time is not precious anymore. It's His time. It's His time. You either live for Him or you live for the devil. You can try and argue around this now. I've put the groundwork for that now. You think you're making choices of your time. What's making your choices of your time? So when I ask you, book for the 412 conference, make sure that you pray about it and find the Lord in it and not just make your own arguments and your own thoughts and your own conclusions. I'm not saying that we should say yes to everything. It needs to be Spirit-led because they devoted themselves out of the Spirit. Okay? I'm not ticking boxes here. I haven't even touched on any of the others. There's so much more. Let's do, I don't know how I'm going to carry on or land. Money. You think you haven't been taken captive? You know, the first thing, also thinking about this, because I'm thinking of my, yet again, this is my own journey. You can take out of it whatever you feel, but it's been my own journey. I know that the first place that I had to realize in my life when it comes to finances is that I need to pray and trust God for money, that He will provide for me. That's the first place you need to be, because you need to realize that He is the one that's going to provide. So you need to pray for that. Then the second place that you need to get to, as you grow in your heart, as the kingdom comes, it's like, because that first place, it sounds so simple, but it's a big place for a lot of people to realize that it's God is the one that provides, and I need to pray for Him. And then the second place you get to is a place of thanksgiving, realizing how much you've got. That I've grown into, and I'm still growing. Still growing into a place of, okay, because we easily look at other people and see what I want, and even some of my own needs. So the second place that I had to grow into is a place of thanksgiving and being content of where the Lord has me and that He's been caring for me for 41 years. But then I go to in a place where, okay, Lord, I realize that what You've given me is the kingdoms. And You say, and we pray this, Here, laat U Koninkryk kom. Laat U Koninkryk kom. So I want to ask, how much of the kingdom has come into your bank account? That what God's given you, you're just a steward. He's the king of your finances. So how much am I giving of what He's giving to me? And if I read Acts, how much ground have we lost to the deceptiveness of the devil and the arguments and the traditions of this world? We think of, and we don't realize the spiritual forces behind building this culture. Now I'm just talking about time and finances. I still got loads. And I'm going to carry on with that next week. We're just running out of time. I wish I had a day with you guys. Met klomp energy bars dat jy kan wakker bly. See, just on finances, when it comes to work. See, it's not that I'm saying we shouldn't work. It's just to work in a godly way that gives glory to God. We work in a godly way that gives glory to God. But I don't work for work. I don't live in this life to survive. I live for the kingdom. I'm mid-preacher, I don't know how to land. And we all want to stand. Yes, Lord. So we'll carry on next week. talking about boundaries of relationships, lots of things. Church, phones, all these things. So next week, part two. Oh, Lord. Yes, Father. Father, I know that you hold us in the palm of your hand. I know, Father, that we are secure in who you are. We are your children, Lord. And thank you for the assurance you give us. Thank you that we can be called your children. That through your Spirit, you testify to us that we are your children, Lord. And what a blessed assurance that is, God. To weet, Here, that ons is u kinders. Maar Here, u sê in die woord dat ons moet waaksaam wees. We need to be sober-minded. So that the devil won't lead us to be ineffective in your kingdom. Father, I repent of the areas of my life where I've been ineffective in your kingdom, Lord, where you haven't reigned. Thank you for your kindness that leads us to this place. Not a condemnation, for there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. But there's kindness in Christ. And that kindness leads us to repentance. That kindness leads us to a place of, Father, you be the king in my heart. Realizing just how quickly I've been influenced by culture. And I pray, Father, that as we stand here now, that you will reveal to us the strongholds, just these two things of time and money. Father, I repent of not giving enough. I personally repent of not giving enough. Not stewarding the money that you've given me better. Being too sensitive of time, Lord. Father, I pray that you will give us the boldness to listen to your voice. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us kindly. And I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us through your Spirit as we go out of here, Father, to shine a light for you. Dat ons lig sal skyn asof mense se harte in die koninkryk van lig is. Dat ons nie sal lyk en ons harte sal lyk soos die koninkryk van die wêreld nie, Here. Ons bid dit in Jesus se naam. Amen. Gaan drink koffie. Gooi melk